Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
And we thank you very much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you very much for joining us. It is 2 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center, and it is May 22nd, 2018. It is a Tuesday, and we hope your day is going well. We hope you're having a terrific day, and we thank you for making us a part of your day. We are continuing our series, as we continue to welcome back to CUTV News Radio, Dr. Madeline Blair. Now, if you heard the show last weekend, what a terrific show it was. We covered a lot of ground and a lot of topics. If you heard it, then you know where we're at, and we've got a great show in store for you. If you haven't, I highly recommend you go back into our archives on our websites, social media, also iTunes and Stitcher as well. We use those additional platforms to archive all of our broadcasts and listen to the show that Dr. Blair and I did together last week. It was really, really good, as this one will be today as well. If you're not familiar with Dr. Blair, you really should be, because she is a remarkable woman, an amazing spirited individual, and somebody who has a thirst for learning and knowledge and life mentorship as well, mentoring others, coaching others. She is a keynote speaker. She's a leadership resilience coach and author of the books Riding the Current in Essays in Two Voices. Now, I have copies of both of those because we did a TV video interview not that long ago together in the television studio, and Dr. Blair was kind enough to bring me both of those books, and I've read them cover to cover, and they are terrific, and I do highly recommend our listeners get copies of those books. You can go to MadelineBlair.com to learn more, but it's really, really important that you get those because they're good to have in your collection. Resilience, you know, is more than just a positive frame of mind, as Dr. Blair has said. It pertains to taking action when you hit a snag or an unexpected block, and that happens to us all the time. Sometimes, you have what you think is all those dominoes lined up perfectly, and you're going along, sailing along, and then, boop, there's a pothole in the road that takes the wheel off your car, and then it throws everything else off, and that domino effect, all those other dominoes, fall down. Well, the root of resilience means to jump and take action, and that is precisely what great leaders must do in order to continually be effective, according to our guest, Dr. Madeline Blair. For over 30 years, she's run a top-notch small boutique consulting firm until she reached a turning point where she aspired to effectively communicate the vast wisdom she had acquired. Almost innately interested in learning, her motto being, if I'm not learning, I'm not living, Dr. Blair constantly observed the world from her and her natural curiosity, which prompted her to the ultimate calling, which she is living now. She pursued her undergraduate degree math and her PhD in organizational psychology. She credits her extraordinary mother, an intense learner who encouraged and inspired her to help others. As we've mentioned, and we went over it last week, and it's really a fantastic concept, Dr. Blair ingeniously teaches her four daily practices and how every single person can build their resilience if they have the will to do so. And it all begins with 5 minutes of silence each day. The key to being able to get yourself in that quiet place and sit in silence is really important, so you can focus on listening to that quiet voice that is in your mind for guidance. There's a lot of wonderful things that Dr. Blair does additionally, including workshops, coaching, speaking engagements as well. She teaches her phenomenal four, the set of daily practices that boot resilience, but she also writes this phenomenal blog, a blog on Psychology Today entitled Resilient Leaders, and we're going to talk about that and so much more on this episode of CUTV News Radio. Resilient leadership is what it's all about. Dr. Blair, thank you so very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio. It's an honor and a pleasure, and we welcome back to part two of the series with us.
Jim, it is always a pleasure to be with you and talk about what is one of my very favorite subjects. I love your intros, by the way. They're so much fun to listen to. It's hearing myself from another person's voice, and it's very, very encouraging.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and it is all you. And you've done a lot and you continue to do so much, Dr. Blair. That blog that you and I were chatting about before you went live, you write this wonderful blog called Resilient Leadership. Let's talk about that. When did you start that blog? How long ago? And what is it specifically about leadership that you want to really focus on? Why is it leadership the focus?
Jim, you asked when I started that blog, and I'm so embarrassed to say that I can't remember. It has to be at least a couple of years. So there are lots of issues that are there that you can research. But let me tackle that question about why leadership. And I have to begin by telling you, I read every morning. I probably spend 2 to 3 hours every morning just reading. And a lot of it is online. And this morning, there was this marvelous little article in Fast Company, and it was called, We Asked 10 Kids to Draw a Leader, and Here's What They Did. I just loved it. One of them said, it's my teacher because she teaches me, or it's my mom because she feeds me. But this is the one that I thought was just precious. It's someone who leads others to freedom. And this was a little boy who was leading, drew himself leading turtles. But you see, even though those are very simplistic, there's a real essence of truth in every one of what those children wrote about leaders. Drucker, for example, said that the only definition of a leader is someone who has followers. Goldsmith enhanced that. He said leadership is working through others to achieve your goals. I tend to think of leadership as working through others to move forward. Now, somebody would say, well, to move forward is to meet your goals. But in fact, what that phrase to me means that I'm not only moving toward my goals, but I'm helping you move toward your goals as well. I used to manage or direct a division at the World Bank many years ago. And my whole essence of that leadership position was that I wanted to know what my staff wanted to accomplish in their lives. And then we would relate that back to what the division wanted to do or needed to do. And so when I worked with them and, quote, led them, I was helping them achieve their own goals along with our goals, the mission of the division. The remarkable thing was, even though some people may say that's, you know, you can't do that, all I can tell you is that we always met business objectives and beyond. We always were in budget. And the staff tested out in the 90th percentile of the attitude survey. Their morale was out of the ceiling, up. It was amazing. So when you can lead people through others to move forward, you can be achieving all manner of things. So that's why I tend to focus on leadership. Now, one more thing I want to say about it is that, okay, I was called a division chief. You say, well, it was in your title. But that's not where a leader is. I say to help people to, you know, lead through others to move forward. Parents do that every day. Teachers do that every day. There are even unexpected people do that every day. There's a wonderful story of a bus driver who always greeted the people who came on his bus with a grand hello and good morning, and he would ask about things, and he would help them begin their day well. Well, that's a leadership action. So any of us, in fact, I personally think all of us are leaders because we should be leading ourselves.
Mm-hmm. On a daily basis. That's so accurate. You know, mm-hmm. You talk about resilient leadership. Who is a leader, and how do you specifically, Dr. Blair, define leader?
It's a person who is working through others to move forward. It's just your attitude and the actions that you put out there to work with others so that all of us can move forward. A little altruistic, I know. And sometimes you have to lead only to achieve your objectives, but it's far more effective if you can help everyone lead, move forward.
That's really important. So then who is a leader?
In my definition, all of us are. It depends on where we are or what we are leading. If you don't lead yourself in developing your career, you, for example, may not achieve anything in your career. But if you, well, you might, just by chance. But if you actually take an active leadership role in guiding yourself, leading yourself to do the actions you need to do to achieve your goals, that's leadership.
So that's what it's all about, absolutely. When a team seems to flounder with so many options, how do you bring in limits that help and not sort of squelch their options? And can you do this all at the same time?
I love that question. Thank you. The answer is yes. You can do both. I remember one time I was working with a vice president, and he was bemoaning the fact that he had this difficult management problem. He just couldn't solve it. And I said, well, but this is the kind of problem you want to hand to your staff and put together a working group. Let them play with it and see what they come up with. He said, oh, no, Madeline, I can't do that. He said, they'll come up with ideas that won't work. I said, why won't they work? Well, they don't see the bigger picture. I said, okay. So then I asked him, do you have kids, Bob? And he said, yeah, I have kids. I said, do you let them outside to play? Well, yeah, why? I said, well, why do you let them out to play? He said, well, we have a big fence in the backyard, and they're safe in there. I said, okay, when you put together your working group, I want you to build that fence. Tell them what the big picture is. Tell them what you want them to achieve. Give them as many of the factors as you can that constrain you, and just build that fence and then let them play inside that fence. And you'd be amazed at what will come out. I transformed his life. He never did anything without considering the possibility of using a task force or a working group, because he could suddenly see, all I have to do is lay out the parameters that I live within, and people are smart, they can figure that out, and let them play. And the word play is the right word, because you really want people to explore possibilities and almost impossibilities until they come up with the right solution. So that's an example of when you can give them exuberance for possibilities and at the same time put enough structure, I call them boundaries sometimes, where within that they can have lots of freedom. But that holds them and sustains them.
Which is very important. Now, as a parent, when somebody is a parent, that's considered a leader as well, right? Would that be a leader in a certain way? And how can someone stimulate curiosity in children?
Well, first of all, absolutely, I believe that every parent is a leader, if only as a model to their children. Children really do connect with their parents, that would be the norm, I would say. And they look to their parents to guide them and model for them how they should become an adult, because that's what you're doing. A parent is preparing a child so that they can be a functioning adult in the world. I'll never forget my mother saying to me, you're only loaned to me. My job is to make sure you can function when you get out there by yourself. So that's what you're trying to do. So just behavior is part of it. Certainly, advice to the child is a part of it, or direction, or maybe rules, you'll call them. Now, let's come back to that other part of that question, which is how do you stimulate curiosity in it? Because You know, kids are born curious. They are, you just watch them, a one-year-old. By then, they're usually crawling around. They are just exploring everything and anything. And you know, all the young mothers out there will say, yeah, and they put it in their mouth first thing. Because that's part of satisfying their curiosity. They're trying to learn about the world. We tend to lose that, I guess, for a lot of social reasons. We tell a child, now, don't put that in your mouth. And so you learn, oh, I shouldn't put everything in my mouth. And you go to school and you want to do something. Well, it's not time to do that. And so you constrain yourself. The question is then, how do you allow that child to continue to be curious, even though they must live within the boundaries, as we talked about before? What I suggest and have used myself is, number one, ask your child questions. And don't ask them in an accusatory way. Ask them with a genuine desire to hear their answer. Secondly, when the child asks you a question, respond to that question, because those are moments when they are interested, they're curious, they want to learn something. And so if you respond respectfully, honoring their question, they will learn that asking questions is a legitimate way to gather information. And they won't feel like, I'm doing something wrong. I also suggest that you encourage your child to ask questions even in school. That's a harder situation because teachers can't, let me say that differently. Teachers have limitations on time and structure, and so they may have to close things down. But if the child is still curious and is allowed to at least ask and express the question, then they keep that as an option, a behavior option within themselves. I even say to some kids, sometimes if you think the environment is one where you can't ask the question, then just think the question and remember that this is something you're curious about. Because curiosity actually is the beginning of learning. You can't learn without it. A desire to know something more. In fact, one of the things I always say to my students, I now mentor PhD students as they go into their research, and I say to them every time, I say, look, I'm going to ask you lots of questions. When I ask you a question, that doesn't mean I'm critiquing what you do. It means I want more information. And it really helps the students to relax, and they go, oh, I don't have to think through what is she trying to say to me. I just answer the question. Makes it much more productive. So those are just some thoughts on how you can help help kids be more curious.
That's terrific. And to instill all of that while they're young early on is very important, I know. It's never too early to teach them and to instill that in a youngster, right, Doctor?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I always say to people, if you really understood how important asking questions is, you would never get upset when your child keeps asking why.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the why all the time. And then as we are adults, sometimes we continue asking that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Childhood, so they're still asking the why.
Uh-huh. In fact, I was doing a mentoring session with some. Really, they were world leaders in economics, and they wanted to improve their presentation skills because they were coming up to a big presentation. And I kept asking them, now, why are you doing this? And they would answer the question, well, you know, I want to present these 17 points. Well, why do you want to present those 17 points? And they'd answer the question again. By the time I asked the third time why, they would kind of pause, take a breath, and say things like, I don't want anyone to leave this room while I'm talking. I say, ah, now that's something we really can work on. And then I would coach them around how they could present themselves so that nobody would leave the room. It was an interesting way to begin a mentoring session with people who were just literally world leaders in their fields.
fascinating. You know, one of your most popular blogs is called Leaders Don't Manage Time, They Manage Choices. Can you explain, tell us more about what you mean by that?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, several years ago, Marie Kondo wrote two wonderful books. They were just delightful. I'm trying to think what the names of them were. I think the second one was called Joy. In that, she talks about how you can declutter your life. She called it tidying your life. But and some people would say, well, that's just organization. But Marie Kondo added a piece that I had never read before, and it's so powerful. She would say, you can't organize things until you have sorted through them. And if an item gives you joy, you keep it. If it no longer gives you joy, you thank it and put it away, and put it out. And that aspect of asking, does this object give me joy? Does this dress still make me feel joyful when I wear it? Those are the kinds of decision points she was asking you to learn how to do before you then organized your home. Now, let's step to a leader's position. Now we're talking about a formal leader. In this case, when you're starting your day, you can say, oh, I've got 17 things on my to-do list. But the real question is, what is the most important? And you could even say, what's going to give me joy? Well, I won't say that, but certainly what's the most important? And it's a similar kind of thing to, does it still give me joy? But now it's in a business setting. What's the most important? Is it achieving a long-term goal? And that choice limits what you are going to then choose to do. And so you don't have to manage time so much as you are managing your choices. I've been doing this now for at least 5 years because I came up with my phenomenal four. And as you recall, the third one is that you decide the most important thing for the day. When I have started doing that, it was very hard. It's gotten easier and easier until today. Although I used to have pages, literally pages of to-do lists, each day I begin with, there's only about three things on my list, and I get them all done. And I get more achieved simply by asking that question, what's the most important? So it is a matter of choice. It's not a matter of time.
Matter of choice, not a matter of time. Can you really use personal storytelling, would you say, in the organizational setting?
You're picking up on that second phenomenal four, which is to write your personal story. Oh my goodness, there are so many ways in which you can use storytelling within organizations. when I ask people to do it for their daily practice, that's to write a personal story that just helps you become more aware of who you are. I say that it brings the experiences of your life into the present. When you're in an organizational setting, there are all kinds of ways you can use people's personal stories to advance business goals. For example, I had one group that had a mission statement that, in fact, it was a board of directors, and they had lost their enthusiasm for their own mission. And I read their mission, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was dynamite. So I said to them, what's wrong? What's wrong with this mission? Well, you know, we've just done it. So I had them pick one of the words in it, and I think the word was global. I said, now I want you to think about a story that is inspired by that word global that happened to you, and share that with the group. And there were about 12 people, and it took about an hour to go around the table for each of them to share that story. Well, I can tell you that about halfway through, I could see the light bulbs going off in people's heads. This word global suddenly came alive again. And by the time they finished telling those personal stories inspired by the word global, board was on fire. So that's one way. And gosh, there are books on the subject. In fact, many of the processes that I've designed, including the one I just described, is documented in several of them. One is, I'm trying to think of some of the titles of these books. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to my bookshelf and I'm going to tell you some of them because people are curious about this. One is called Circle of the Nine Muses by David Hutchins. That's probably the most recent, and I'll leave it at that.
So now, if you know, as you say, we are all leaders. What are the benefits of becoming, and we can do an hour on this one, the benefits of becoming a resilient leader?
Well, there was a recent article in the Harvard Business Review by Tasha Urich. She listed all kinds of benefits that come to the individual. So I'm going to read some of them, and we'll translate those into leadership. One is that you become more confident when you are more resilient. Now think of a leader who doesn't have as much confidence as he or she would like. So there's already one definite benefit to really building and working on creating and building resilience. And everybody can do this, by the way. You're more creative. Well, when you're hitting with problems and trying to overcome things as a leader, you've got to keep thinking of other ways to do things. And so creativity is very important. Another thing that she lists is that you make sounder decisions. Well, gosh, leaders are all about making decisions, so let's make sound ones. You can build stronger relationships when you're more resilient. And oftentimes, leadership is very dependent on how well you relate to the people that you are working with, whether they are your staff or your peers or your superiors. So there's another air one. Communicating more effectively. Can you imagine that? Being more resilient means you communicate more effectively. Again, leadership oftentimes is stymied when they can't communicate. So here's an area where communication would be enhanced. You can produce more satisfied teams. And again, that comes back to working with somebody who is confident and creative, can come to good decisions, keeps up your relationships, can communicate with you. Of course, you're going to build more satisfied teams. So you can see there are a long list of benefits that accrue to someone who is in leadership position who really works on becoming more resilient. In fact, Jim, I'll go on to say,
yeah,
that I know we only have a minute or so. I am designing a masterclass for exactly that kind of person who really wants to take themselves to the next level. So I hope they'll come to my website, madelineblair.com, and that's spelled MadelineBlair, madelineblair.com, and you'll get details there.
That's exciting. Next week, I want to let folks know that we're going to talk about today's world and the coming up next week. That'll be on May 29th episode of CU TV News Radio, and looking forward to that. That again, today's world and the need for resilience. And Dr. Blair will have some wonderful examples for all of us as we continue our exclusive series with Dr. Madelyn Blair here on CU TV News Radio. As we mentioned, the website, again, is a phenomenal place to learn more about Dr. Blair, to also access the books, Riding the Current, Voices, learn about her coaching and workshops, speaking engagements, and, of course, the masterclass that she's also putting together. So a lot of excitement available at MadelineBlair.com. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Blair. Always a pleasure to have you with us on the show, and we're looking forward to tackling more next week on the program.
Thank you, Jim.
You are very welcome. Have a terrific day. And thank you for joining us as well, everybody. This is Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we certainly hope you enjoyed this episode. Go back and hear the archives from last week's episode as well. That'll thread things along for you. And then, of course, join us next week with Dr. Blair at the same time. All of us here at CU Radio, thanks again for joining us, and have a terrific day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.